Hey, welcome back to the Infos Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Daryl.
And we're trying something new, so bear with us. This episode might seem a little disjointed, but it's not. It's all planned out. It's going to be okay. All right. So this is episode 332, The Slappening. So you can guess what we're talking about. We're talking about Ezra Miller chokeslamming another lady in another bar somewhere in the world. And
I don't get this guy.
Obviously talking about, you know, Will Smith, professional cuck, smacking Chris Rock in the face. And I have thoughts on this, Daryl. I have lots of thoughts. And then we're going to talk about Moon Knight, season one, episode one, and Supes and Lolo, season two, episode nine.
Let's really hope that Moon Knight is better than what we saw of Halo. That's all I'll just say about that.
I agree. And I want to say, I really hope Moon Knight's better than what we've seen from those trailers. But did you see the guy, one of the producers from Moon Knight was complaining about Wonder Woman 1984, saying it's Orientalist or something? Some bullshit like
yeah.
that.
Like, I didn't even read it. I saw the headline. I just...
Moon Knight series director slams Wonder Woman 1984 is a disgrace to Egyptians, accuses Hollywood of Orientalism.
Anyway,
we'll talk about that when we talk about New Moon Knight. All right. So let's just jump into it, as the kids say. Jump in, both feet. And let's talk about Flash and Fantastic Beasts actor Ezra Miller, arrested in Hawaii this time for disorderly conduct and harassment. Before we get too deep into this, here's my question. How many times is this dude allowed to fuck up? And who does he have naked pictures of?
I don't get it. After last year or the year before last?
Yeah. It was 2 years ago. April 6th will be the 2 year anniversary of him chokeslamming that lady in Iceland.
Chokeslamming a woman in Iceland, yeah. After that, something should have happened to him. But Warners, they stuck with him.
I mean, but like Johnny Depp got fired because we talked about the whole Johnny Depp thing, right? Johnny Depp got fired for allegations and got fired for alleged abuse for a woman who cut his part of his pinky off.
Yeah.
And shit in his bed.
And then you have a guy like Ezra Miller who was caught on tape.
Twice.
On video.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah,
I don't know how they can't do something about this. I don't even remember if they said anything. They probably threw out some half-assed, you know, PR statement about it.
Yeah,
I mean, he's actually putting them in a. They have to act because, again, and we'll get more on the slap, mm-hmm. not the TV show,
right?
But this, well, it's playing out like a TV show, because again, when you say we don't condone X, Y, or Z, and then you allow, and I don't mean allegations, I mean proof positive on camera, catching somebody doing something.
Right.
This, again, like you said, this is the second time this guy's done this. Yeah. I have no idea.
At least the second time. You know, how many times has he done this that we haven't heard about it because it wasn't on video? Right. I mean, okay, I'm not an Ezra Miller fan. We've talked about this, right? And I don't understand why Warner Brothers is sticking with this guy when like so many other people they have like thrown the book at and, you know, just whatever. And didn't he like do some kind of like Instagram video where he threatened to kill somebody?
Oh, I completely
or, like, Trump
forgot
voters
about that.
Or
he
something
did,
like that.
He, no,
oh, the
he
Klan.
Did that,
was that about the Klan. The Klan. He was going to kill everyone in the Klan.
Yeah, that was what? That was only a few months ago.
Yeah, that wasn't too long ago. So, but man, it's
I mean,
just...
this guy has like free reign to do whatever he wants, mm-hmm. and I don't. And yeah, like you said, who does he have incriminating photos of?
I don't know. And you know, it's the whole like, identity politics of it all too, because he claims mm-hmm. to classify as, you know,
as non-binary,
the in-gauche whatever classification is right now.
I'm not going to be naive. That I guarantee you that has some, at least somewhat to do with it, because I mean, we've seen it before, yet I'm waiting to see what they do with this, because this is, again, the second time that we know of, as you said, because usually when you catch somebody doing something once, especially someone like this in Hollywood, the odds are they've done it multiple times. Again, that's something we've seen as well.
Yeah. I've taken to going back to calling them celebritards, by the way.
That's pretty accurate.
So,
but they have to say something, they have to do something. And again, it doesn't help that it seems like they're just, or not seems like, they're just such a disarray with the whole DC extended universe or whatever they're doing with the Flash movie. Who knows what the hell they're doing? I don't know what they're going to do, but this is, again, second time. I'm not even counting the whole violent rant of life-threatening he did on Instagram, which, again,
I mean, this was threatening the Klan, like, I'm not really that concerned about that, but, you know.
I am not either. However, it's the precedent that we're, it's supposed to be that, hey, if you preach violence, it doesn't matter what it is, or it doesn't matter who it's
correct. So,
I mean, I'm doing this in air quotes because we also know that that's not true with how social media works. Right. We've seen this again, where they say something is hate speech and it's not, and then something that is objectively hate speech is allowed on the platform. So, again, this is a second time, and did this just happen, yesterday?
March 28th on Monday. Shortly after midnight. So, like, early morning Monday, late night Sunday.
Okay.
So and that's an important distinction, which we learned from Jack Reacher, because details matter.
And I wonder if part of this, because, again, I didn't know about this until you sent it to me, how much of this got caught up in the whole slap, which, again, yesterday was, I denoted that to my buddies as the meme Monday.
Meme Monday. Oh, yeah.
Good grief.
There was so much out there. There were some excellent memes around the, the slap. And I did mark myself safe from Will Smith today on Instagram.
So that's funny. Back to Ezra Miller. I know you're not a fan. I'm not saying I'm a fan. I definitely wasn't a fan of him as Barry Allen. I thought he did fine as a Flash character, but not Barry Allen. I still think that they could have found somebody else better for the role. The only thing I know that I liked him in, I thought he was fine in, was, what was that? Perks of Being a Wallflower. I've only seen the first Fantastic Beasts, and he was whatever. So I haven't seen, the second one, and obviously not the third one. So this is not like he is a massive star. Yet he is getting the treatment of a massive star, which also makes you wonder, okay, going back to that, does he have a get out of jail free card? Not for, incriminating photos, but the whole non-binary thing.
I don't know.
And again,
people don't like to look at it that way. But I mean, if it's just like, virtue signal privilege, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I've talked enough about this douchebag. Let's, let's talk about more douchebags while we're at it. All right. So, the Oscars happened on Sunday, which was, what's today? The 29th, on Sunday, March 27th, the Oscars happened. And I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I didn't know the Oscars were going on until I got a notification that Will Smith smacked the taste out of Chris Rock's mouth. So
I woke up to 30 something texts in this group chat, wow, this happened. And then I was late to the party as well, because I don't give a damn about award shows generally, specifically the Oscars. So I did not know they were even going on until, next morning when I woke up.
Yeah, I was up and I was talking to my new friend on the phone, and, we were both like watching it and talking about it. And I thought it was fake. I 100% thought it was fake at first, right? Like, I was like, this is a bit. And then I found the video from The Guardian with the unedited, like, you know, swearing afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he's telling Chris Rock to keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. It's like, okay, you're all of a sudden street.
Yeah.
This is the funny thing that makes me laugh about, like, the black actors like Will Smith, right? Like, he speaks so, like, eloquently most of the time that then he does that. And I was like, dude, which one of you is the fake? I think it's this one.
Yeah.
I think it's this one because you're not tough. Because you've done all these action movies. And come to think of it, the only time I've ever seen him really punch anything in an action movie was the alien in
Independence Day,
right? It's a lot of shooting and running and jumping.
Right.
And come on, he open ham slapped him. And, like, here's why I don't think it was fake. And I'll let you talk in a sec. Chris Rock squared up for, like, a microsecond. If you go back and watch, like, he puts that back foot back and kind of squares up and balls his right fist. And then, like, was like, laughs it off like a professional, not professional cuck like Will Smith, but professional.
So it's funny you were talking about how, you know, he wants to act tough. One of my favorite diss tracks of all time, one of the best diss tracks of all time, Ice Cube's No Vaseline, going at NWA. One of the things he says is, yell in Compton, but you moved to Riverside. And a lot of people like Will Smith want to, you know, talk tough and, you know, well, like you said, you know, straight laced and all this. And then, you know, when the violence comes, he wants to talk tough. Dude, you ain't tough.
Right.
You're not tough. I could say that for just looking at it. He is not a tough guy. Well, first of all, considering what's going on in his marriage, and that's the thing. This was more than just a joke that,
right,
you know, got his gander up, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, as far as being fake or not, I initially, because again, I saw stills of it, you know, before I saw the video when I woke up yesterday. So I'm like, no, this is a bit or something like that. They're trying to get ratings.
Yeah.
And then I only saw the slap, and still I thought it was, I was like, okay, it could go either way. These guys are actors or whatnot. And, you know, just looking a little bit more at it. Now, again, I will say this. Again, these people are professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Smith did just win an Oscar for
his best role actor, which, you know, was also on display with his apology later on. But
so I could, again, I don't think it's fake. Don't get me wrong. I think it was real. It had nothing to do with what Chris Rock said.
Correct.
Because, again, you look at Will Smith and he is laughing when
he's yucking it up. He was yucking it up with everybody.
Yeah. Until he looks at Jada, I guess, and she's not too happy about it. And then he does that, which.
And she's like, do you want me to call that 25-year-old rapper? I'll call him right now.
So that makes it for me even worse. It's bad enough if he got pissed at the joke and went up there and did that.
Right.
The fact that he didn't do anything until, you know, the one that runs the family, he saw she was upset. That's more of an indictment on who he is as a person and what's going on with him than anything else.
Right. Right. No, you're right. It's ridiculous. And there's the other, like, implications to this, right? One, like, let's be honest, this is black on black crime. Right. Mm-hmm. And I made a joke about it. And then I started seeing memes about it. And I was like, all right, other people saw this. But they're not, like, if this would have been a white actor who walked up and slapped, Chris Rock, it would have been one thing. Or if it was a black actor that stepped up and slapped a white actor, it would just be completely brushed under the rug. But, like, even more so than this. So there's that aspect to it. Here's the other thing. If you're, like, so Tiffany Haddish came out and supported this. Tiffany Haddish is a stand-up comic. If you're a stand-up, a musician, anyone who goes up on stage to, like, do anything, and you're not saying this is horrible, this shouldn't be done, I'm not saying I hope something happens to you, but you're opening the door for all these fucking crazy people who go to these shows to come up on stage and kick the shit out of someone, or come up on stage and stab someone, or come up on stage and shoot someone. And it's fucking bullshit. And the Oscars, the Academy, should have immediately removed Will Smith from the premises. And, you know, he won, and they should have been great. We're not doing a speech for this. We're going to mail him his trophy. Fuck him.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. If this, honestly, I would just say if this was a white actor slapping anyone, whether it was another white actor
right.
or a black actor, they would have been removed immediately. There's no doubt in my mind that would have happened.
I think if it was a black actor slapping a white actor, the black actor would have been removed too.
Yeah, I do believe that. I think so. Yeah, I do think that would probably have been the case as well. So to allow this to go on, and you can say all you want about we don't condone violence in any form. Mm-hmm. The fact that you let him in, you let him stay.
Well, you did condone violence, right?
Because you did condone violence. You gave him his award. You let him talk. And then the fact of the matter is you say, we don't condone violence. Hey, let's look at these winners here.
Yeah.
What type of a half-ass statement
right.
is that?
Right. And then all that's these just people an example. Giving him a standing ovation for winning yeah. and shit like that. It's like, fuck you people. You fucking husks.
Yeah. That says, again, we've been talking about this for years, and we're not the only ones. We're far from the only ones that have been talking about Hollywood and the swamp that it is.
Right.
This is just another example of Hollywood being Hollywood, you know, being a swamp of just degradation and like lack of morals and mm-hmm. lack of spine and backbone.
Right. It's infuriating just the way that they've gone about this. And, you know, it makes me sad more than anything. It just makes me sad. But yeah, just back to it. Like I told you last Saturday, I went to see, Rocky Dale Davis Jr. So you can imagine what kind of
say redneck that five he times fast.
Oh, dude, there's no way. But he was talking about how like he had been doing crowd work and he made fun of some lady and then her boyfriend like didn't come up on stage but was like, you know, we're gonna go, and then they went outside and fought. But like, I mean, I've been at comedy clubs and where I've seen, you know, somebody try and rush the stage. Hell, I pissed the guy off so much by making fun of his wife when I was doing it that he wanted to kick the shit out of me. Well, she opened her mouth, right? Like stand-up comedy is not a group activity, right? It's not like improv where you can yell stuff out, like where it's encouraged to yell stuff out. It's
right.
It's not a group activity. And so if you're going to pull that shit, then hell yeah,
be put in your place.
I'm going to use my superpower and look at you and pick your greatest insecurity and then attack you in front of 200 people. So, but yeah. And I'm not saying I'm right for doing that. And I'm not saying comics are right for doing that. But in this particular instance, like there's so much like moral decay coming out of Hollywood. And then the fact that Denzel told Will Smith, like, you know, well, God comes to you at certain times. It's like, what God, Denzel, is telling him to go smack Chris Rock and then be like, I'm sorry, God.
Well, this is the thing about that. I don't know what was said, but again, Will Smith, absolutely, again, you know, I know Denzel is a man of faith, and he's trying to reach out. And again, I'm assuming they're friends. I don't know. They're friendly, whatever. But I'm not going to take for, you know, as another, as gospel that's exactly what he said, considering that Will Smith, and looking at his apology, his initial apology, and looking at his speech, did not take accountability for his actions. So a guy in that situation, just like, and I'll bring it out to another one of the guys I like, Juwan Howard, when it happened against Wisconsin. His first apology, in the sense, was not taking responsibility for what he did, like right after the fact. It's very similar right. to this in the sense of, now I will say, Juwan Howard, slightly, like his reaction was based on something somebody did, like push one of his players. That is not, don't get me wrong, that is not at all condoning what he did. What I'm saying is there was a little bit more physicality in that one, it wasn't one of the things that somebody said something from on stage and then Juwan got up and smacked it. Both of them are wrong. Both of them did not initially take responsibility and say, hey, this was wrong of me. It took a Will Smith, I think it was like 24 hours, whatever. Yeah. His PR guy drew it up. Yeah. Both of those guys, what they did, they did not initially take responsibility.
Well, and I'll say this about the Juwan Howard thing, in defense of, because even though I didn't defend him the first time, but just in defense of, you're at the end of a game, you're a gigantic hypocrite, and you are upset about something the other coach did, even though you were doing something that, you know, was just as like faux pas. But it's the heat of the moment. You're not thinking. You're just gonna overreact, and that's what he did. And yes, it sucks. It was a bad look. It was a bad look for the NCAA. It was a bad look for Michigan not to like deal with it immediately, to let it sit for a couple days. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, these are two entirely different circumstances. So when I see the people bringing up Juwan Howard, it's like it's you're talking apples to, you know, bicycle tires in this case.
Yeah, there's one thing that's the same is the only thing you can control is your reaction to something. Where's different is, like I said, there's a physicality involved. There is a heat and fire involved in competing sports. You know this. I know this. And again, this is not defending anybody that does it. People lose their cool.
Right.
However, if you're in an audience and somebody says one thing, it's not like he was doing a bit for 10 minutes on her. Right. He says one thing and that gets you upset enough to go up, get out of your chair, go up on stage, smack a guy, and then come back down like that and then say what he said.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Those are totally different things. I'm just comparing, both guys were wrong.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, sports is a lot different than, you know, just getting somebody just saying something to you on the street, or in this case, you know, in a civilized Academy Awards ceremony or what have you.
Yeah.
And there was video of him. I just saw this earlier, of him dancing like nothing happened afterwards, like, you know, in the parties and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Which, again, there's a lot of stuff going on in his life, and he doesn't feel, I will say, he probably doesn't feel like a man because, again, not just for the open marriage thing, which that's big enough.
For the open hand slap, evidently, that did not Chris Rock down, he definitely doesn't feel like a man.
Also, the fact that, and again, I put this on Will and Jada, and particularly him, because there has to be a point where you say no more. Mm-hmm. And this, and I don't mean the open marriage part. I mean the part that she just airs out their laundry on her TV show or her streaming show or
whatever.
Yeah, her podcast, where she even said at one point she didn't feel like, something along the lines, and I might be like messing it up, but I'm paraphrasing, like she did not look at him necessarily as, you know, a man,
right,
as she would a man or something along those lines. So who knows what the hell she says to him in the privacy of their own home, how she treats him. Now, again, that does not condone what he did. What I'm saying is this is a lot bigger than what Chris Rock did to him or said about her. Mm-hmm. Much bigger than that.
Right. No, agreed 100%. I agree. So, it's a bad situation. It's a bad look for everybody involved. Yeah. You know, Chris Rock made a joke. He made a joke in bad taste. The fact that comedy is dead and dying is, you know, the saddest thing for me. But, you know, it's just, come on, dude. Like, suck it up. You laughed. Like, it wasn't even that bad of a joke, to be honest. But,
let's be honest, he's
ableist.
Look at Will Smith when it happened. It wasn't an uncomfortable laugh. He laughed because he thought it was funny.
Right.
Until, again, he looked at Jada, and there was one meme where she did the Winter Soldier like conditioning.
That's
like railway freight car.
That's funny. So, Homecoming 17.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
So, I like that. But yeah, so it's ridiculous, right? It's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not going to pretend to get it, but like why anyone thought that was okay and why the people in the Academy were like, oh, hey, yeah, we'll just brush this under the rug too. And, you know, here's your award. Here's six and a half minutes to talk. That's the most egregious thing, to be honest, that they let him sit up there and like, you know, pontificate about God and, you know, his apology and the fact that he apologized to everyone but Chris Rock. And then he did issue an apology to Chris Rock finally. But, you know, and then the other thing was the like, oh, I'm the crazy dad. Like he's trying to be Richard Williams. And it's like Richard Williams is not someone to emulate as a father, as a man,
no,
any of that. So, but I did. So obviously every celebritard, whatever has weighed in and, you know, there are celebrities out there who aren't just husks who think for themselves and make their own decisions. And, you know, they're not huge names because of it. But like we were talking about Alan Ritchson the other day with Reacher and, you know, everything he's done. And I don't know, did you watch the Inside of You podcast with him
or just the clips? Oh yeah. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, that was great, right? And like learning that he was blackmailed by a business partner who was going to tell everybody he raped her and things like that. That was intense.
Yeah.
But I especially appreciated the part where he was talking about like his marriage and like should I be married and things like that. Was just, I don't know, with what I'm going through, that was very helpful to hear. Yeah. So,
but I mean, also he was very open and honest about, you know, his bout of depression he actually tried to hang himself. And yeah, I mean, again, I've always, you know, we've talked about him before in Titans. I mean, he was Aquaman back in the day in Smallville. I am currently watching him at Thad Castle,
Kevin, in
Blue Mountain State.
Kevin Castle.
Thad.
I'm Thad. You own that, Moran.
So, yeah, I mean, and then again, we both really, really enjoyed Reacher. Can't wait to see season two.
Right. So anyway, so he put out like a 3-screen, 2.5 screen, whatever, like comment on his Instagram, which, you know, you sent it to me. Did you send me Az's video? Is that what you sent me?
Yeah, I sent you Az's video, okay. And then after that fact, that's when I went to actually his Instagram.
Because I wasn't able to watch Az's video till this morning, which is why. I was like, because I was like, I think he sent it to me, and I was on my tablet and not my phone. So, but like, I just really, really appreciated what he said here. And I think it's also to be taken with a grain of salt because, you know, but he says, like many, I was appalled by Will Smith's petulant assault on Chris Rock last night. Woke up sick about it. I'm even more dismayed that Will was not only allowed to remain at the event, but given a trophy, rewarded with its highest honor and a platform to weep over how God has called him to be love and a river to his people, while in the same breath ignoring the fact that he just smashed a completely unexpected and nonviolent person in the face. Now, this part has changed since, but he never apologized to Chris. He didn't apologize to the many stunned fans that he just set a terrible example of conflict resolution for the slap and those self-centered tears he got a standing ovation, which I already noted that was bullshit. This is to speak nothing of the fact that Will and Jada have a famously open marriage and have perfected Olympian-grade acrobatics to avoiding defining themselves as married or committed to each other in any traditional sense of the word. That's powerful right there. They've bucked the concept of labels and monogamy so they can both have their cake and eat it too, sending mixed signals to the world on what exactly he is fighting for. His original laugh at the G.I. Jane joke and his nuclear-grade pendulum swing in the other direction is demonstrative of someone who is himself confused by these nebulous and uncharted marital waters. I'm gonna read this one more time. His original laugh at the G.I. Jane joke and his nuclear grade pendulum swing in the other direction is demonstrative of someone who is himself confused by those nebulous, uncharted marital waters. In English, he's fucked up. He's broken. He's depressed. He doesn't know what he's doing. This is why he lashed out. And you know, instead of like, you know, you know, he needs help, but he should have been removed. Anyway, here we go. Another victim of relativism. Projection is its projection at its finest. We despise most in others what we loathe in ourselves. Last night, Will was in his most authentic role to date. And then spits tobacco. Hey, Chris, this town isn't big enough for the both of us to blur the lines of respect. So this says, how this so perfectly captures the foreboding sense of hopelessness many of our young generation are forced to grapple with, that yet again, like many of our most greedy and despicable politicians and businessmen, bad and illegal behavior by those with influence today isn't just excused, it's rewarded. Is no one brave enough to do the right thing anymore? That's Matthew 21. Again, bad and illegal behavior by those with influence today is just excused, or isn't just excused, it's rewarded. And I mean, that's what we talked about before. I mean, like this is, we've talked about this for a long time. You look at Ezra Miller, you look at Will Smith, you look at what's happening with these people, and enough is enough.
Yeah. Go back to how many times has Roman Polanski been nominated for stuff, or most recently Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah. And these people, right? And it's like, what do you mean these people? It's like these celebritards, people who are just awful. And they celebrate the worst of humanity right now. I told you, like, I haven't been watching anything on TV hardly at all. I've been reading a ton and doing other things. I've been outside as much as it could possibly be. Like, it was, what, 32, 34 degrees last night here, and Ricky and I went out on the one wheels for 2 hours, you know? So it's just, yeah, I'm fed up with these people.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is what I'm because I told you last week that I've been having trouble sticking with stuff.
Right.
And you know, tried to watch Halo, couldn't do it. And again, I'm not saying this is the reason why. Now, this is part of the reason why I'm interested in less stuff. Absolutely. Just because something comes on, like the whole Halo thing, for example, I'm half an episode in, I'm not going to watch any. I might try to finish the first episode, but that's it. I'm done. But I don't know if there's just kind of like, I just have this lethargy or whatever, what have you, with anytime I watch something now. And I don't know exactly if it's a carryover from my frustration and just being fed up with Hollywood and the way they do things, the way they just, not just something like this where they're rewarding bad behavior, but also bad behavior in the sense of shitting on the origins or, you know, the source material of things like Lord of the Rings,
right?
Like the Wheel of Time,
like Halo,
and in a way, in certain particular ways, Dune as well.
Dune, Star Wars. You said Star Wars, didn't you?
Yeah, Star Wars. We can keep going on. Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff where they just, you know, just throw their hands up and say, "F you, we don't care. We know what we're doing." Despite the fact that all these materials have millions upon millions of fans, and they say, no, we know what's better. We know what's best. So we're going to do it our way.
Yeah.
And I'm really fed up with that. That's why, again, I love the, for 10 years, for the most part, I love the MCU. And now that they're in full force of, you know, doing it their way, being more, even more proactive, mm-hmm. I should say, in not following the source material, I'm almost throwing my hand. It's one of those things where I'm more wait and see, and Moon Knight. Moon Knight's another example of a wait and see. Now, I'm not a huge Moon Knight fan from the comics, so something like that might be different because I don't know necessarily his backstory. But again, this is Hollywood. They think they know better than you. You know, Hollywood, they look down upon those that aren't in their inner circle, even those that are from Hollywood, or even those like, say, a Tim Allen or something along those lines, who are, you know, are actors and you're well known. They don't have the same belief system, so those people are looked down on as well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of what Hollywood has done, not only from the sense of what they, you know, make okay, but what the sense of what they shit on and think that they can do better.
Yep. Oh yeah. One, I mean, it's 100% like just nonsense right now. And hopefully people wake up, hopefully, you know, things like, you know, like we don't need people in Hollywood preaching to us about their, you know,
no.
as our friend Jason Whitlock, not real friend, but Jason Whitlock's to say, with their satanic behavior, which yeah. is a little overboard, to be honest, to say that. But that being said, I don't know where we go from here. I mean, the Oscars got a little bit of a bump, you know, in viewership. So like in typical Hollywood fashion, they're just going to escalate things now.
Yes.
And make it worse.
That's what they do with movies.
So yep. It's like, oh, well, you had a vampire. Great. Now we have a vampire hunter. Oh, you had a vampire hunter. Well, we have a vampire slayer. We have a vampire slayer. Well, we have sparkly vampires. And then the genre would die. So, seriously, I mean, that's how it went. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, and we're going to finish up on this topic, but at the end of the day, very dangerous precedent has been set. And at the end of the day, we really, really need to not let people get away with this kind of behavior. And, you know, and does he need help? Yes.
Yeah.
Should he be mocked and ridiculed? I mean, it was kind of a bitch slap. So yeah. You know, no, I'm kidding. But at the end of the day, like Alan said it best, like there's a huge mixed message coming here from what the relationship of these two people is. Right. So, people like, oh, well, he was just standing up for his woman. It's like, well, yeah, but his woman enjoys the company of many other men. So
yeah,
is she his woman? Like, how does that, I mean, I like as someone who is a serial monogamist, like I don't understand that.
And again, this is one of those things that if she wasn't so open and honest, and I'm doing this in parentheses, it's more about attention than being honest about yeah. stuff.
More air quotes.
Yeah. that's the downfall of audio only, but yeah, this is the fact that this is like, we should know this stuff. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
yeah.
We should not know this stuff.
It's not anyone's business.
No, it's not. However, you open yourself up to criticism the second you air your dirty laundry out for the world to see. You can't claim, hey, you can't judge me because this is what I'm. No, the fact that you said this on a podcast that you, and again, I don't think it was just like one time. This has gone, you know, this is something that's been going on for years and she's been talking about. You cannot then claim, hey, you know, don't judge me. You're the one that puts your shit out on the airwaves, reap the whirlwind.
Right. I mean, like I shared a little bit about what I'm going through 2 weeks ago. Right. And, you know, I didn't get into it. I didn't bash anybody. It's just, you know, for the people who listen, thank you for listening. And two, like, I felt like I owed you all a bit of a explanation as to where we'd been.
And I would say this, it depends on why are you sharing what you're sharing. I fully believe she's sharing shit like that because she wants attention.
Yeah,
it's not like when Alan Rickson
wants to get some other strange.
Yeah. And Alan Rickson, he was sharing his bouts with depression for people that have issues and say, hey, because he said it multiple times. Hey, get help. Don't try to do this on your own.
Right.
Because you know why? Look at what almost happened to me. And I had a, you know, incredible wife that was there. Yeah. And I almost screwed shit up because I didn't reach out for help.
Yeah,
that is different than saying, hey, you know what? I sleep with this guy and my husband allows it and this, that and the other. That's. Again, apples and bicycle tires.
I sleep with this guy and my husband holds my purse. Why I do it. Professional cuck. Anyway. All right. Cool. Well, on that note, we're going to talk about some TV shows now. All right. So now we're talking Moon Knight. Season one, episode one, The Goldfish Problem. Directed by Mohab Daib, who is the showrunner. And written by Jeremy Slater.
You know, I really like the trailer. And again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, how trailers are not an indication that something's going to be good.
Correct.
How many times have we been fooled by that?
This
and then,
week.
And sadly, I think we're kind of, I don't know how much you liked it, but I think I'm going to be kind of fooled by the trailer of Morbius. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's as good as the trailer makes it out to be, for me at least. But who knows?
So I'm not high on the Morbius trailer. Like, I've liked the trailer. You know what I mean? Like, like what I've seen, I've liked it, and it's like piqued my interest. And I'm probably going to see it in the theater because I actually want to support the Sony Spider-Man stuff. Because it's actually been like the Venom, both Venom movies were all right. Like, I just kind of want this to be all right too. Even though I think it's weird to do Spider-Man villains without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway,
even if he is the living vampire, but as far as Moon Knight goes, again, I'm not going to say I read Moon Knight comics or anything like that. I've seen him here and there, but I've never read a, I actually started reading one before, you know, a couple weeks ago and just kind of lost track of it. But sure. As far as this show goes, I actually was pleasantly surprised. And when I say pleasantly surprised, I don't mean from the trailer, but also, and we don't need to get into this, but just some of the comments that have been coming out from the creatives involved in this just gave me a sour taste. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to color how I thought about this show. And it actually didn't. I like the fact that, one, you can watch Moon Knight and have like clocked in 0 seconds of any other MCU property. So people can go in fresh, not knowing anything about anything, and watch this. Mm-hmm. The first episode, as we say all the time, you know, they're building a lot, and there's a lot to go through with this. You know, this the character Stephen Grant / Mark Spector, and trying to get audiences to get them to a point where they understand at least what's going on, but also it's disjarring. Right. And that's good because of just the identity disorder that he has. And I like what we got in this first episode. There was some good action. There was some comedy, which if I'm nitpicking, I would say that there was a little too much playing the Steven character for laughs. And we're going to probably see this throughout most of the show of I think you said it's 6 episodes.
Yeah. 6.
So that's one of the things I was kind of down on. Everything else. And his manager sucked.
Yeah.
Hopefully she gets eaten.
Like, she was a horrible actress too.
Yeah, she was.
But so here's the thing is, like, we open up with the Stephen Grant character, right? And he's very different from the Stephen Grant in the comics because in the comics, Stephen Grant's a millionaire. And then one of the other personalities is a guy named Jake Lockley, who was a cab driver. But Mark Spector is like the main personality and the one that the Moon God appointed or, you know, made him Moon Knight to enact justice, you know, and protect those who travel by night. So essentially Moon Knight is Marvel's answer to Batman, right? Like yes, people like to say it's Daredevil, but it's not. It's Moon Knight because Batman's crazy too. the other thing is it looks like the Stephen Grant character is going to be the other alter ego of Moon Knight, Mr. Knight. So I'm really curious what they're going to do in 6 episodes, because not a lot happened in this first episode, to be honest. And I think, like you said, the problem with it being the comedic nonsense of Stephen Grant, it took away from moving anything forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we basically do get the first image of Moon Knight, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, we just don't know Moon Knight in the trailer, right? Like, the only thing I don't like is the bright blue glowing eyes.
Yeah, that kind of, I think, takes a little bit away. But I'm not sure where they're trying to go with this. Right. We do get, you know, we get introduced to Ethan Hawke's character, who isn't in there much, but what he gets to work with,
right?
He does a fantastic job. But I just don't know where they're wanting to go with this show. And again, six episodes, you don't have the room to throw a filler in. We had the same thing with, Captain America and the Neutered Soldier, mm-hmm. where there was an episode and a half where it's like, what did this accomplish? And then the back end felt rushed.
Right.
So I'm hoping they don't do that in this one, because again, this first episode, it wasn't perfect. Obviously most first episodes aren't, but it was promising in the sense of the character. Now, as far as the sense of the miniseries arc, again, I don't know. I know there's, he stole the scarab.
Right.
I know Ethan Hawke's character, which I don't recall his name. It wants it. I mean, is that enough? I mean, it could be, but I think they could have done a little bit more with that, as well as maybe toning down about 30% of the Stephen Grant, dorky comedy. So,
right.
But I am interested in where they go from here. I just hope it doesn't fall on its face.
Yeah.
Like some of the other ones have.
So, I don't really want to spoil. I think you should watch it. You should watch the show. It's worth watching. I believe. I do believe that. But that being said, at the same time, I found it kind of plotting. The first episode was like, I think runtime wise, it was about like 42, 43 minutes.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Of like actual like show, and then another like whatever 47 minutes of commercials and credits. But that being said, I'm curious as like how, like maybe this show would be better if it was 12 half-hour episodes. If the pace that they went with the pilot is what they're going to go with the rest of this show. So like I'm going to come back for part two on April 6th. Right. But if episode two doesn't catch me, I don't know if I'm going to, on April 13th, if I'm going to tune in right away. I don't know. It looks really good. It looks nice. I mean, it's like all the Marvel properties. It actually looks really good. I think the stark whiteness of the Moon Knight costume and then those bright blue eyes could have been better served if they would have made the face like just a perpetual shadow, like it's drawn in the comic. And not because that's the way it's drawn in the comic, but I think it would make the bright colored eyes really pop and like be menacing. But yeah, I love Oscar Isaac. So I'm happy he's getting to play these dual roles, and hopefully we get to see Jacob at some point, or Jake, not Jacob, sorry, at some point. But at the end of the day, I think out of five split personalities, I'm going to give this one like a 2.5.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd probably give it I'm around that three area. So, but again, I think with a six episode two, unless it just, takes just a drastic turn, I think I'm going to tune in. I mean, I suffered through Loki. I suffered through Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So, and this has started off much better than both of those, even though Falcon and Winter Soldier, I did like that first episode and some of the action.
Right.
And I think this will be a little deeper, hopefully. Again, this is what they're working with, what they're playing with. I think it should be a little deeper, having to that, that those different personalities. And it's a lot of stuff you can do with that. So I'm hoping they take advantage of that. And like you said, and as you're, talking about, move forward a little bit quicker next time with everything. Just be a little sharper, because you don't have those 12 episodes or 10 episodes to develop your story. You only have six, so you really have to cut the corners, but you have to be on your game.
Right. Yeah, 100%. You just have to be on your game, and you have to have a really tight story and a plan going in. But anyway, yeah. So, it is what it is, right? It's it's a show. It looks nice. I think people will be like, "Oh, it looks nice, so it's good," and not like, "It looks nice, but the content could use some work." So,
right.
Anyway,
and then some people will be like, "It's Marvel, so it's going to be good."
Yep. All right, let's move on to Supes and Lolo. We had Superman and Lois at season 2, episode 9, 30 Days and 30 Nights, directed by Ian Somalo, and written by Katie Aldrin and Jai Jameson. You texted me. Hold on, let me get my phone. I want to read your exact text because it got me pumped up. I had you open already. Where is it? Oh, Supes and Lolo! ! So good! ! Well, because last week you texted me and you're like, "This might be the worst episode of the series," and I was like, "Man." But like, that was like the fact that you texted it to me like first thing in the morning. I was like, "Sweet."
Yeah.
So I agree. I really enjoyed this. It was really interesting with Allie being freed from the DOD, and she has people everywhere.
I know, right?
Like any good cult leader, right? You had the election day stuff going on. The football stuff, and all of that, and just fucking Jordan. God damn.
Dude.
Like, yeah. Superboy himself, right? Let's just dub him Superboy. Actually I thought Natalie had a really good episode this week. Because of the anniversary of the death of Lois, I thought Natalie kind of crushed it a lot. Taylor Buck is the actress, and she did awesome this week. I know when she first showed up, we were a little worried, and with some of the stuff they've written her like towards Clark, we've been a little worried. But yeah, I think here's the other interesting thing is this was a mostly Superman-less episode.
Yeah.
And I really like the time jumps that occurred during the episode. Like it was like 24 hours later, 1 week later, 22 and a half days and 4 hours later, 30 days later. it was really, really good. And then the end with, the inverse Jonathan showing up was really interesting. And did you notice that John got the headaches like Clark did?
Yeah. Yes.
And so is that a side effect of the XK? Does he have like the latent whatever? But I think like I can't I like I'm a, like I'm thinking about like the A story is probably Lana winning the mayoral candidacy or winning the mayoral race. Is it like Sam and Lois intrepid investigators trying to shut down the XK ring?
I would think probably because it involves the Lane, how it involved the Lane family, the Lane Kent family. I would almost say that with the A story, but this was one of those episodes where there were all the stories A through D or what have you had their moments in the sense of you could have built an episode around what happened in those stories in those storylines. Like you said, you had the Natalie and John Henry where, she thinks that, her dad is trying to forget her mom. She gets pissed because she looks and she thinks he's flirting with Lois with Lana. Mm-hmm. You have, as you mentioned, the whole XK thing where we get Superboy, which we can talk about that a little bit more. That was great.
Can I just say that with the Natalie thing with Sarah, where she's like, well, we do this thing where we remember the dead. Just show me a picture of your mom.
Yeah. And then reach to grab her phone. It's like, mm-hmm. girl, chill out. That's not your phone.
No.
And also one of the best line, maybe the best line in the episode. When you're under my roof, you'll have to do what I say, basically. Not when I'm the one with superpowers. Dude, and then just drop the mic.
That was like a total mic drop moment for him, and it was great.
Yeah. I said damn out loud when he did that. I was like,
yeah. I called you immediately.
Yeah. I mean, that was hardcore. And I mean, he ends up saving the day. And again, he has the storyline with Sarah, who I thought she had some great moments with her dad, who Jordan saves from a fire. And like watching him, you know, where Kyle is right now, and mm-hmm. you know, he looks a little scruffy. And she actually, it was funny when she goes to visit him, I thought he had somebody in the apartment. It's like, oh no.
Right.
But no, he didn't want her to see where he lived and how bad it was. Which there were like every storyline had an episode winning moment. That's what I'll call it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I loved about this episode, because it wasn't just, okay, we're going to this storyline, so it's going to be a little bit weaker. No, it was strong. And again, going back to the mayoral race, where the woman just like rips into Jonathan, who, man, hopefully Jonathan needs a win.
Yeah, he needs a win bad.
Yeah, he, and again, even though that with Candace's help, that they're going to break up the, you know, or they're looking to break up that XK ring, I don't think she's going to be welcome into the house anytime soon.
No, she's, yeah, Lois has a thing or two to say to her.
Yeah, and she even said it when Jonathan's walking her home. She was like, your mom's kind of scary. Mm-hmm.
Not as scary as Jonathan or as Jordan is. So.
Yeah.
But
watching him like cover up when that guy did the heat vision, and then he sees how slow it is compared to how fast he can move. And then that smile that comes across his face. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, man. This is super easy. Really an inconvenience.
Well, and when he flew, too.
Yeah.
That was great. And we got more of a training montage with him as well, with Sam, which I like. I'm a sucker for training montages. Like I could more training montages, more better. but yeah, it's just one of those things that I like it. I liked what they did with this episode. I liked the whole thing. It was so many good stories back to back to back. And again, like it was an episode that didn't focus around Superman. Question though, when that plane was crashing in Metropolis or wherever it was, did you for even a split second think it was Jordan saving it?
And that crossed my mind, but I'm like, wait a minute, he can't fly.
Well, that was my first thought is like, this is how they're going to show us he can fly.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that could, if it was like several months later, that could have worked. The thing I will say, and this is a little thing that, unless I missed a line of dialogue, which it's, even though I watched it twice, that could be possible. Did they mention anything about Clark and where Clark was to other people? Nobody brought him up.
Yeah, he was on assignment. Lois said it a couple times because Lana had asked about
okay.
him. He's still on assignment.
I missed that.
The planet. So even though he got fired from the planet.
Because I was like, okay, these writers are too good. They're not going to make that mistake. So I thought, I was like, I had to admit.
Yeah,
something.
It was a throwaway line. Both times it was like a throwaway line. So,
but again, that's, you know what? That is the thing I asked for with little things uh-huh. where a lot of times shows don't do that. Right. And even, hey, that's on me for missing it. They put it in there. That's right. enough. That's right. all I yeah. need.
Right. Exactly. So, it's a show don't tell.
Right.
And then The Jonathan story is so interesting. It's just he wants to be a hero, and at the same time he's just so full of self-doubt right now. It's like you said, he needs a win. I think Candace is, like, other than Aubrey, I think Candace is the second most CW thing they've done on this show.
Yes.
And, like, my big fear is, oh, she's going to get pregnant.
That would be terrible.
Right.
I mean, not just for the character. I think that would be the wrong move for them to do.
Right.
I just wonder now that his inverse self is here. What that's like, how is that going to, is it going to be that same type of
the pull
drawn to comp?
What if they become one?
Yeah. And
this is how they defeat Allie.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see him, you know, the inverse Jonathan at the end of this episode, because Jordan was like, hey, there's Jonathan. And then you see him frown turns around.
I thought it was Lois who said that. Was it Jordan?
Well, no, Jordan. No, Lois was like, that's not our Jonathan.
Okay, there we go.
And I thought at first, I thought she recognized it before him. But then when I saw it the second time, he scrunches his face up like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I liked when he started to talk and it was backwards and he took a second to like,
I love that.
Himself. That was really good.
I love that. That was great.
And that was really great. The other thing about kind of that whole like bizarro, like inverse world thing is the army woman who helped Allie when Superman's like, I'm going to go get her. And she says, not in that you aren't. And mm-hmm. then he whipped around and pulled up all that like XK and everything. Like that was such a cool scene. And then he flew in he was covered with rock. Did you notice right. that?
That was great. Yeah.
That was like, I mean, that was just such a cool effect. And then to see that, and then the fire that injured Kyle, like, are we going to find out, like, is Lar back? Did Leslie Lar like get out of jail or no?
I don't know.
So, but like, I'm assuming it's going to be some XK person who is.
That
like,
wasn't a natural fire.
Right.
The way the way it was like that cyclone.
Well, it was the cyclone. And then we hit with the waters, like it split.
It split apart. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, there has to be something going on there.
Yeah. That was still good stuff.
Yeah. That was really good.
No complaints had. So.
But yeah, this was just like, I just loved everything about this episode. Yeah. And the only thing I didn't love is that returns on April 26th.
Yeah, we got to wait a month. We got to wait a whole month for it. And yeah. I don't know why.
Why do they do this?
I'm going to say what I told you on the phone. They need to just throw this on Hobo Max. And just run it weekly on there and not worry about the CW stupid schedule.
100% agree.
I think I think more people will watch it.
Well, we've talked about this. We talked about this in season one.
Oh, yeah.
Where we thought that would have been a better thing to do than what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And because more, like you said, I was talking to my buddy today. I said, you know, I told him what we said and I said, look, you throw it on HBO Max, mm-hmm. you're going to have more people that have HBO Max than people that have or, you know, tune into the CW.
Yeah.
And then you put it on a banner and there will be people that say, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
And click on it, watch it. And again, if they're anything like us, get hooked on that first episode. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, my mom made it for me. Yep. And there you have it. I really hope they do that. Yeah.
Are you ready to be super sad?
Why?
It only did 680,000.
This week. Oh, it's this week.
Yeah. So last week's did 80, which was up from the 2, 3, 4 weeks previous. This is the only one that's got a lower rating was the season one finale.
Way to kick me in the shins, man.
Sorry.
Yeah. Again, that's more reason to put it on HBO Max, because
more than 680,000 people are going to watch it.
Yes. And that's just the, now that number, I don't know if I've asked you this before. Is that number just the CW numbers and doesn't
that's take just in the streaming? CW. Yeah. I don't think that's the streaming. Yeah. That's not the streaming.
I don't think
numbers.
They have
like,
okay.
The CW app is so bad. I don't think that they can get the streaming numbers off that accurately.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And all those commercials. Oh my God.
Yes.
I want to quit vaping. Call 1-800-ORANGE or whatever it is. Anyway. But yeah, it's all good stuff. This was a great episode. All right. So out of 5 Jonathan Doppelgangers, what do you give this one?
I give it a 4.5. They're every single storyline, like I said, I'll reiterate, had its episode, highlight. It could have been highlight of an episode. That's how well this was crafted. And again, the whole dual writing continues to work. I think.
Yeah, I like the team. I like the writing.
I don't know if there's been another show that has done this consistently with dual writing. And again, it might be, I'm talking about the shows that we watch. I haven't seen this consistency with dual writers, and it works. It works. So 4.5 out of 5, and I'm really excited to see where they go with this Inverse World. I did watch the promo for next month's episode,
right?
And I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Same. 100%. I mean, I like the direction. Like, I can't wait for Clark to come back, and see that it's a very Omni-Man, right? from Invincible.
That's a good one.
But yeah, I mean, because he flew off into the portal, like all, cocksure and ready to go. But yeah, so if you're not watching this show and you've listened to this point, please check the show out. Please tell your friends to check the show out. The whole first season is on HBO Max. Actually the whole second season so far is on the CW app. So you can definitely check it out.
Yeah. I can't, this is one of those shows. I can't stress enough how good it is and how much I want more people to watch it.
Yeah. 100%. And I think again, like I agree with you. I think this has been the best episode so far.
Yeah.
And I kind of like this Katie Aldrin, Jai Jameson team. I'd like to see them paired up more.
Yeah, because they absolutely gave us a top to bottom excellent episode.
Actually, it looks like this. This is their first pairing. Right? Yeah. So, anyway. Well, cool. All right. Anything else to add? Oh, you had an update on the Ezra Miller thing because we recorded that a couple days ago.
Oh yeah, it was one of the things I saw, and evidently it's going to get a little bit worse for him because, so he was not only was he kicked out of the bar after, accosting a female and a male, at the bar. Also, he was staying with a couple, and at one point, I guess during the night, he came back to the room, broke into their room, and threatened to bury them, as well as taking a wallet and passport.
Yeah.
So this guy there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, and, I mean, he's sick. I mean, he's sick in the head.
Yeah, absolutely. So they need to, something needs to be done about him. No more of this coddling bullshit that a lot of these, you see this in sports where if a guy can help you win, a lot of the stuff gets swept under the rug. Right. You see this in all avenues where winning and money is involved, and to the detriment of the person, because again, I think he's absolutely has issues and they need to get rectified before they do anything else with him in movies.
Right. Yep. Agree. 100%. I just, I think it's time to move on from the Ezra Miller experiment and
yes,
you know, get on with life. Get on with the DCU without DCEU without that douchebag.
I mean, very succinct and very true. Total douchebag. Absolutely.
So, but yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, if we don't have anything else to add on that note, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more Moon Knight, at least.
Yeah. Oh man, a month.
Yeah, I know. I'll share my hijinks from my Nashville trip. How about that?
Okay, there we go.
Unless it's not PG.
What do you mean? Like PG Punk?
Yeah, like PG Punk. But yeah. All right. Well, on that note, thank you all for listening. We will talk to you later.
See ya.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Daryl Jasper and me, Brian Tudor. To find more information about the show, visit us at infamouspodcast.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to keep up with the show. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons and are looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. Music for this podcast is provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.